Hello, this is Benjamin Blatter. I'm from Zurich, and I want to tell you about the Marantz PMD 671. This is a flash recorder which records on compact flash cards up to 8 gigabytes, and this recorder can record in PCM wave, MP3, and broadcast wave. And of course, you have many resolutions which you can use. So far I know in MP3 you have the minimum is 64 kbps, then 80, 128, 160, 256, and 320. So, and in PCM wave you can choose from 44.1 kilohertz and 16 bit up to 96 kilohertz 24 bit. So you have there a high resolution recorder. You can listen by headphones or by a built-in mono speaker. It's not very well for listening music, but just for control purposes you can use this. This recorder uses a compact flash card, like I said. Marantz recommends Lexar Pro cards. I wanted to go on the safe side and got one with 4 gigabytes, and but you could also try cards from SanDisk. This could work, since with this Marantz PMD 671 came a SanDisk 1 gigabyte card. So try out for yourself if you want. Now let me tell you a bit about the quality of this recorder. It's not the smallest recorder you can get. It's very big, like a tape cassette recorder, which you would put on a table. And but I was amazed. It's not very heavy, this recorder. I think this is also because it's made of plastic. It's hard plastic here, but I don't think this recorder is very sturdy. I definitely think not. So I'm glad I bought a protective case for this recorder. You can do this. It's a bit expensive, but it will be worth your money. If you have this protective case, you can transport this recorder easily. Otherwise, you have to be very, very careful. So, in my opinion, the build quality could be better for this price. I won't mention any price here in this podcast. It's better that you look for yourself in your area. You can record in different ways with this recorder. You can record with external microphone. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm using an Audio Technica 825, and I'm using the phantom power of this recorder. You can switch this on and off with a nice switch. And you can record also with an internal microphone. This is a mono microphone. Yeah, it's good for short messages you might have or anything else, but of course this is only mono here. It's not very enjoyable. So, and you can record also analog line in, and you can record digital coaxial line in, and the signal is a consumer signal. It's not AES EBU. It's consumer. Okay, now I'm telling you about the connections of this recorder. You have a few of them. Let's start on the right side of this recorder. You have connections for a remote. It's not a wireless remote. You could control with this things like play, stop, record, and so on. So I don't have a remote, so I can't tell you really more about this. Then you have analog line output, analog line input, two XLR microphone connectors, and right after this the phantom power switch. Okay. On the left side you have two other connections. First you have digital input and output. You have also connector for net power, and there is also the compact flash card door. Speaking of power, you could use this recorder also with batteries, with NiMH or with alkaline batteries, but you would use 8 batteries for powering this recorder. This is definitely too much for me, so I prefer the net power. With batteries you could record about 6 or 7 hours. I think it depends a little bit if you're using the phantom power of this recorder or if you don't. Yes, and the headphone connector is at the front. And at the front there are also other things. There you can find the volume control, a very large display. You can find a button or two small buttons for display settings. One is for changing how things are written on the display, and the other is to turn the display light on or off. Yes, I think if you can see anything, you can easily say if the recorder is on or not. So if you don't happen to have a flashcard or an MP3 file or whatever in your recorder, so you could press this button and look at the display. What you also can do is to press your ear on the speaker of this recorder. When the recorder is on, you will hear a little tiny hiss from this speaker. On the at the front, there is also the record switch. You can record immediately with this recorder, if you drag this switch to the right side, it will move automatically to the left side again if you let it go. There is another option you can have. If you press another button left to this switch, the recorder will go in pause mode, in record mode. So it won't record immediately, it will just go in pause mode, and if you are ready, you drag the other button to the right side and the recorder will start recording. And you have also a hold switch, which will prevent you from hitting some buttons by accident. It won't prevent you, however, from changing the gain for recording, and it won't prevent you from turning the recorder on and off. And on the very right side at the front, you have two rings. I call it two rings. One is on the outside, and there is another ring inside this ring. And with these rings, you can control the record gain. You can control them separately. If you hold one ring and turn the other, or you can control them both at the same time if you turn both at the same time, of course. The inner ring has something like a plastic on it, and it looks like a pointer of a watch. If both rings are turned on the very left side, the pointer would look to 1 o'clock. And if you turn the ring until you can't anymore, it will look about 11 o'clock. Now let's go to the top of this recorder. There are some other buttons which are interesting. On the very left side, you have a switch for powering the recorder on and off. Therefore, you always drag this to the right side and will move automatically to the left side again. There is a smaller button next to it. It's a bit separated from the other one. It's the menu button. This recorder has a very big menu. I will talk a bit later about this. Then you have what you really have to know. These buttons sometimes are multifunctional. So the menu button is also the store button. Then comes the play button. It's also the pause button and enter in the menus. And you have the stop button. And this button is also the cancel button in the menus. Okay, over the menu button you have two little round buttons. And these are track jump buttons. And there's something special on this recorder. If you want to rewind a track and listen to it or move forward, you can do this, but with other buttons, not with the track jump buttons. These other buttons are next to the track jump buttons, over, play and stop. And if you press these buttons during you listen something, the speed will double. I think it's a double speed. This is not very fast, But it will be very fast if you press pause. And then it will be really fast if you rewind or press forward. Okay. And over these buttons, track jump and rewind and forward, you have 5 different buttons. They are looking really similar, but they have other functions, of course. The first of them, from left to right, is for choosing the input source. Like I said, line in, digital line in, external mic, internal mic. You can choose this with this button, so you don't have to go in a menu for doing this. It's pretty cool. The second button is to set the A and B point if you want to repeat a special part again and again in a file. Next button is to move a marker backwards. Yes, you heard right. You can set with this recorder markers in playback and in recording. The fourth button is for setting markers, and the fifth button, finally, is to move markers forward. All markers are saved on the compact flash card if you press stop. Stop will also store these markers. So this means you can't move to these markers which you set until you press stop and then press play again. Then you can do it. Marantz calls its own EDL system for setting markers, and there will be created a file which is named pmd670.edl. A nice little mistake if you consider that you bought a PMD671. Okay. Of course, this recorder is a really powerful recorder, and it's maybe not the easiest you can get, but there is a really nice thing about this. On the top of the recorder, when the recorder comes out of the factory, there are 2 shields on it. One of the left side with some lines on it. If I move with my fingernails on it, it will sound this way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 lines are on this shield. It's closed with 4 screws. Please don't open this shield. It protects some factory settings of this recorder. Only technical personnel should open this. But there is another shield on the right side, which stands up a little bit from the left shield. It's locked by 2 screws. And this shield definitely should open, because there are 9 switches hidden under this shield. I'll tell you right now what switches these are. 9 switches. In every row are 3 of them. In the first row, you have a switch called source or file, this switch has two positions. You can choose which signal you want to hear during recording. If this switch stands on source, you will hear exactly what you record at the same time. And if you move it to the right side, you will hear what you have recorded after about 3 seconds. It's something like a backband control. I think Marantz calls it third head monitoring. Okay, and the second switch is for controlling the audio signal during listening. You can listen to the left channel only, to both channels, and to the right channel only. The second position is the middle position, and this is default. It's stereo, both channels. The third switch gives you a mic attenuation during recording. If you have this activated, your input signal is -20 dB more silent. I think I can demonstrate this right now. I'm really speaking at the same positions like I did before, but it's a little bit silent. Now I'm back. Of course, I'm still here, but the switch, I moved it back to the original positions without 20 dB attenuation for microphone. The second row has also 3 switches. The first one is to activate or turn off pre-rec. This is a feature many recorder have today. It lets you do some pre-recording. The recorder records also in pause mode, and it will buffer the record every signal it gets about 3 seconds. So this means if you press the record button again after some time, it will record also the 3 seconds before you did this. The second switch is repeat for a repeat function. The normal position is off, it's on the very left side, the first position. Then you can repeat every single track again and again. And you can also repeat all tracks after the card is at the end of all tracks. It will start again from the top. And the third switch gives you some filters in a recording. I didn't understand this correctly when I was told this, what it is. It's something like low, high cut, flat, and low. I will demonstrate this right now. Maybe we can hear this. Now I moved it to the very left position, a low high cut, or what else. Now I have it on the second position, which is default, like I had before the whole time, and now I have it on the third position. Maybe we will hear it on the recording then, if this makes any sense, or whatever. Now I have it again on the second default position. Now the third row, of course, has again 3 switches. The first one is for input lock. You can lock some inputs from the PMD671, so you won't be able, for example, to record from analog or digital line in, for example, if you want this. Then you have the second switch, it's called EDL Play. Like I mentioned before, the Marantz has its own EDL marker system, and if you want to do experimental things like repeating some markers, you would have to activate this position. So otherwise the recorder can't repeat some marks in a special function. I think this is advanced. You don't really need this. These are kind of things that, in my opinion, it's not really necessary. So make sure if you really want to use this, the recorder normal without this stuff, this button must be unchecked. Otherwise, the recorder won't play correct. And unchecked, of course, would be there on the very left position, on the first position. Now, finally, the last switch, and maybe the most important switch of these all. You can choose how you want to record, how you want to control your gain. You can do this automatically, you can do this manually yourself, or you can use a limiter. I think I will demonstrate this right now. Let's have a little test with automatic gain control. And now, there it is. Automatic gain control. Yes, should I do some... Yes, I do some funny things. Clapping for the microphone. Hey, I'm here. I'm Benjamin. Do you know this? Yeah. Okay. And as you can hear, the sounds will get a bit louder after this again. The sound will come back to the most high level. So, this is automatic gain control. Now let's do a limiter. Let's look what the limiter can do with this recorder. And now the limiter is activated. Yes, I am Benjamin. The limiter is there. Yeah. Okay. I don't really know how you could test this really properly. Sorry. But I hope you get some impression. And now I'm going back to manual gain control. And here I am. Again. So, I prefer the manual gain control because I can choose myself. Yes. Okay, now, maybe you're really interested about the menus of this recorder. This is a really big thing. So, I won't say it's completely inaccessible, But you have to know it's really a big menu, and the menu wraps. It doesn't move itself, but there are no orientation points you could have, like you press 5 times to left or right and you are at the end of an option or whatever. And the recorder, it will always remember what you did the last time. Also, if you turn it off for a while, it will just remember. And it's not always sure that you would do this also. Or I, of course. Basically, the menu has some basic functions, like choosing the battery type, alkaline or NiMH, or you can set that the recorder should give a beep tone if you press a marker. I tried this, but I didn't get any beeps. Funny. And there are also free presets you can use with this recorder. So this means you could say on the first preset, I want to record in PCM Wave, on the second preset in MP3, and on the third preset in Broadcast Wave. But this is not very easy to make, because I wouldn't bet on it that I and you would always remember which preset have I right now and what's on the other preset. So if I want to change the recording format, I can do this. I did it already successfully, but I'm only using the one preset. I don't use all three presets. It's much easier this way. And what you have to know with this menu, you really need patience. You have to be patient. If something don't work, you have to best to ask someone who can help you a little bit, or try it out for yourself by recording something and look what does it give on the card, if it's MP3 or Wave. It's not very easy, but it's possible. However, on the other hand, this menu is not really necessary for normal use, because you have these 9 switches I told you before, and basically you don't need anything else. Maybe to change the recording format one time or so, but I don't think you will use this menu a lot more, because I think everything important you will need, you have there with your hands on these little 9 switches, which are very nice. What about deleting tracks and marks? You can do this with this recorder. I found out how. Something a little bit myself. You can do this, and if you happen to have this recorder, you can contact me, of course, and we can help each other, and I can show you how to make this. It's possible. Of course, the best way is always to get the flash card out of this recorder and edit with the computer. But of course, there isn't a computer available always, and maybe you are happy to know that you can delete a certain track. But now you have to do this a little bit blind, really blind, and you maybe also daft, because you can't hear. You have to do this in stop mode. You can't listen to a track and then decide, now there it is, I want to delete right from here. You always have to press stop, unfortunately, and then you can delete. So again, the best option is always here to use the computer. Another difficulty is that this menu for deleting tracks or deleting marks or whatever, this, I call it a little bit the file menu, it will close if you aren't very fast enough. You have to do certain operations in about 2 or 3 seconds. Yes, there it is, you see. But it's possible. Anyway. A thing I didn't check so far with this recorder really is to record in broadcast wave, since I'm more musician than broadcaster. And basically these files are like WAV files, but they have some information inside of them. So you could, for example, write with the PMD671 who you are and the name of your radio station and so far. I messed around a little bit one time and I got something like an MPG file. But I didn't investigate this further. So, I've said a lot of good things about this recorder in the last few minutes. But I also want to say what I don't like on this recorder. This is also important, I think. And like I mentioned at the beginning, the build quality is not very well. For this price, I truly would expect more than this plastic. Yes, some things I'm afraid that if you would push by accident on it, like the record button, it could break, and so from this point of view, it's not really as well as it looks, perhaps. Okay, but there are other little things. For example, for playback files, you can, of course, playback your files easily with your record with this recorder. That's no problem. But what about files you didn't record with this recorder? If you want to put some music from your music collection, or a record which you did with, for example, your Edirol recorder, what about this? You can playback these files also, but you have to rename these files into a certain kind of numbers. If you start a recording with the Marantz PMD671, you get a file. If it's your first recording, then it's called 1001.wav or mp3. So you get a number. And this you have to do also if you want to play back some audio files which you didn't record with this Marantz recorder. The smallest number this recorder will accept is 1001, and the highest number is 1999. And it can happen that you won't be able to move forward or to rewind a track. And this can happen if the quality settings of an MP3 files are not compatible with the recorder. For example, maybe I think it has to do with the variable bitrate. If you're using constant bitrate, then it shouldn't be a problem. I had to try a little bit out with my lame encoder, and I discovered I really have to put really simple options, not any special presets or so, really just simple. I think it's the best if you use constant bit rates. That's amazing. I don't understand why this recorder isn't able to play files like other recorders do. But yes, I guess this is Marantz, and this recorder is of course not really meant for playback like an MP3 player or so. But it's good to know that you can if you want. Another thing that I don't like also is with recording, with controlling the gain you choose. Of course, I can do this really easily. I can turn the rings. It's a little bit silent, then I can turn it up and so. But I can't control this really with any indication. I have to listen to the files on the computer and to normalize, and there isn't also an LED which you could watch if you see anything. The only way is to look on the display and watch the level meter. Yes, and this of course if you choose the manual gain control. There is always the options for automatic gain control and limiter, as you heard before. And the MP3 encoder of this recorder is really not the best. The Eduroll, I'm sure, it records much, much better in lower qualities like the Marantz PMD671. If you don't have a bitrate over 256, you will get some hissing and clearing in your recording. It's really not fun to record with this recorder in MP3 file. And there isn't an option between 160 and 256 kbps. So, unfortunately, if you want good MP3 files, you have to choose 256 or higher, or 320. Again, I think for this price, it would be really nice if you had also good MP3 quality recording in lower bit rates. But again, here, you know, this recorder is in first line just meant for recording in PCM wave or broadcast wave. So, I think I have covered the basic stuff. Now let's have a little bit of fun with this recorder again for the end. Now I turned my computer off so that you can hear how the preamps of this microphone really are. And that's something that many other testers don't do, but I don't think I think it's important for listening a little bit silence. So let's do this. My mother is working, but otherwise it's really quiet in this room. So now you get the impression there is, I think, a considerably hiss from the mic preamps. This recorder isn't as quiet as I would like. I think recorders from sound devices, they really are better, and I would dare to say they are also more accessible if we are looking for a recorder, a really good recorder. You should consider this and maybe prefer it from this Marantz PMD671. You can hear also something. I'm touching the microphone connectors with my fingers. And this will sound a little bit like this. Okay, you have to be careful. Just, you know. But the microphone connector is, otherwise it's a pretty good one. The connectors which you put in, they're really sitting tight in these connectors. Okay, now let's do a little bit stereo separation to show. I'm talking really on the left side, and now I can move to the right side of this microphone. I think it's pretty amazing what you can do, and yes, I'm really glad to have this one. Okay, and now there is another thing I want to do. To hold this microphone outside of my window, like I said before, 8 batteries are too much for me for taking this recorder outside. I think it's really a pity that you use as much batteries. And so I stick with my microphone putting out of my window, and you can hear what's going outside. Guess doesn't happen very much. Maybe have luck. Yes. Okay, there we go. So, that's it for this time. I hope you enjoyed. If you have a question, just ask me by sending me a mail. It's benjaminblatter@bluebin.ch. benjaminblatter@bluewin.ch. Thanks and goodbye.